Our Bible reading this evening is taken from Psalm 119. If you haven't got a Bible but would like one, please put a hand in the air and a steward will bring one to you. Psalm 119. On Sunday evenings over this summer period, we've been just continuing our series from where we left off, looking at a kind of a chunk at a time, and we've reached verse 57, and that's where we'll begin reading. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. This is God's word to us this evening. It would be a great help if you had Psalm 119 open in front of you. Psalm 119 and verse 57, which you'll find on page 618. And with that open in front of us, let's pray and seek God's help. Our Father, we've already mentioned what we thought about together this morning about Mary, who chose to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to him. And Father, we want to be those tonight who are Marys. We want to be those who sit at the Lord's feet and learn from him. And we ask that we would do that as we look at this part of Psalm 119. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you something that's true. Wholehearted love for something can dramatically affect your behavior or your desires. So let's pick a silly example to start with, but let's say a wholehearted love for a sports team. Okay, so imagine that you are absolutely besotted by Tottenham Hotspurs. Okay, there are several people in this congregation who might be, but if you are wholeheartedly passionate about your sports team, what it affects is your behavior. It has an impact on your desires. So someone who's passionate about a sports team might order their calendar around times that the games are going on, or they might sort of wear clothes, for example, that are passionate. So there is someone sitting over here in a Tottenham shirt. But you might wear your clothes. You see, it affects what you're wholehearted about, what you are passionate about, has an impact on your desires, on your behavior. Let's pick a slightly more sensible example for a moment, but as a husband, I am wholeheartedly in love with my wife, and that should affect my desires and my behavior. It should flow on from my wholehearted love for something. Perhaps the things that I do will be the things that she likes. I try to not do the things that she doesn't like. Why? Because I have love for her, and it leads to a change in my desires and a change in my behavior. Now that's the truth that we're getting a glimpse of as we come to Psalm 119 and this part of the song. We're getting a glimpse into a song of a believer. So like many of us in this room, he loves the Lord. He is someone who is wholeheartedly in love with the Lord. And tonight, we've kind of got the privilege. You know when you're in your garden, perhaps if you have a garden, and there's someone in the next door garden and they're saying something or they're singing something, and you're listening in, and you can almost hear what they're saying. And tonight, we've got the privilege, as it were, of kind of listening in on the song of a believer. So we get to listen in on the words of someone who is a believer in our Lord and is singing, and they're singing about the Lord and they're singing passionately about him, and we get to listen in. And what do we see? What we see is this, that he is wholeheartedly in love with the Lord. That's what we see in the opening verses. Look with me at verse 57. Look how he starts this part of his song. You're listening in over the fence, and the first thing he sings is, "You are my portion, O Lord." These are the opening words of this part of his song. And what he's expressing, which I think is put so lovely by another translation, an English translation, is he says, "Lord, you are all I want. Lord, you are everything to me." This believer, as we listen to him, is totally taken up with the Lord. He is wholeheartedly in love with him. This morning, if you were with us, we thought about Mary and Martha, and it says that Mary has picked the good portion. Why? Because she picked Jesus. That's what we were thinking about this morning. And here is another believer like Mary who says, "Lord, you are my portion. You are what I want. You are all I need. You are everything to me." And that's how he opens his song, this part of his song. "Lord, you're all I want." And again, look at verse 58. Look at the words that he says in his song as we're listening over this fence. He says, "I have sought your face with all my heart." This is a man who is seeking God. To seek someone's face, it's a bit of an odd phrase, isn't it? You know, because you'd look a bit weird if you're going around looking at people's faces like that. But to seek someone's face is to seek a friendship with them. It's to seek a relationship with them. It's to know them. And this believer says, look, I have sought you, God. I have desired you more than anything else. I want to know you. And he's done it with his whole heart. This is a wholehearted thing. He is totally in love with the Lord. He is wholeheartedly. And if you notice, it's Lord here in capital letters. And the reason that helps us when you see that word is it reminds us that he's wholeheartedly in love with the God who has wholeheartedly loved them. So you just scan to the end of this section, verse 64. It lands with this idea that the earth is filled with your love, O Lord. This is the Lord who has first loved him, and that is why he is overflowing in love for the Lord. Reminds me of those verses in the New Testament that says, "We love Jesus because he first loved us." Here is a believer who's in love with the Lord who has loved him, the Lord who has saved him and his people, the Lord who has spoken, the Lord who has made him, the Lord who is faithful, the Lord who is slow to anger and abounding in love. This is the Lord that he is in love with. This is the Lord that he wholeheartedly loves because it's the Lord who's wholeheartedly loved him. And as we approach this psalm tonight, sitting here as people who love and follow our Lord Jesus, many of us, this Lord here is Father, Son, and Spirit. And so as he sings, we can identify with him as a believer because he's singing to the Lord. And this song opens with these words addressed to the Lord that shows us that this believer is wholehearted in love with the Lord. Now, I want to pause there for a moment because I had to pause there this week, which is that's a bit of a challenge already, isn't it, perhaps? Can we say with the psalmist to Jesus, "Lord, you are all I want"? Can we say, "You are my portion, O Lord. You are the one I want more than anything else. I love you because you have loved me"? That may be the place that we need to start this evening, which is where he springboards from. You see, this whole section, as we're going to see in a moment, is about obedience. But actually, you can't just work at your obedience. We need to work here, which is our love for the Lord, because it all flows from that. And so we have to think carefully. Peter in the New Testament says, though we have not seen him, though we have not seen Jesus, we love him. And even though we don't see him now, we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because of Jesus. Can we tonight say, along with the psalmist, as we listen in on his song, that "You are my portion, O Lord. You are everything I need"? We need wholehearted love for Jesus, the one who saves us, the one who loves us, the one who died for us. And here's what we're listening in on, okay? So we've listened over the fence. We've identified, oh, wow, this is a believer who wholeheartedly loves the Lord. But look again at verse 57. Because here we see that his wholehearted love for the Lord, verse 57, you are my portion, O Lord, leads to a desire to obey. I have promised to obey your words. Here we're seeing that his love for the Lord overflows in a desire to obey the Lord. It's a desire and it's his actions. It affects both. You remember we said earlier that what is true is that something we love affects both our desires and our behavior. And here we're seeing in this man, this believer, as we're listening to him singing, we're hearing someone whose wholehearted love is affecting his desires. And his actions, he wants to. He's promised God that he wants to obey him, his words. His heart overflows with this promise. Look at it. It is a promise, isn't it? I have promised to obey your words. Now, before we carry on, I need to pause again there. Because I had to pause as I studied it this week. Because isn't that a big promise to make? I think I would have to confess that I would struggle to make a promise like that in a song that I sing, because actually I know how quickly I fail. I promise. I don't like to promise things I can't do. But here is this guy promising to obey God. He's overflowing in his love and he's promising this obedience. And it seems, you know, when I first read this, you kind of think, man, this guy's like some Christian league above me, because he can promise something that I know that this week I'd end up breaking. But actually, can I tell you something about this psalmist? He knows he's a wandering man. Just turn over a page if you've got a Bible to verse Psalm 119, verse 176. This is what he knows about himself. He says, I've strayed like a lost sheep. He knows that he's a wanderer. He knows that he's someone who doesn't keep God's words all the time. Or back in our verses, if you turn back to verse 58, what's his request? Be gracious to me. He wouldn't ask the Lord to be gracious to him if he didn't need his help. This is a man who we're listening in on his heart's desires. His heart's desire, his intention, his dependent intention is to obey God, to obey his laws. You see that? So what we're seeing in this psalmist as we look at it is that his wholehearted love for the Lord leads to a wholehearted and dependent, because he's totally dependent on God for his obedience. He's wholehearted and dependent obedience to the Lord. The two are linked. They go hand in hand. And what I want to do this evening is sit back, as it were. You know, put on the stereo. We're going to listen to this song together. We're going to sit in our chair and we are going to see, as we listen to him sing, six marks of someone who is wholehearted in their love and obedience. And what my desire is tonight, as we listen to this song together and we listen to this man sing, is that we will hold up our lives, perhaps this evening if we're believers, against his. And we will try and align it. You see, the Lord Jesus has preserved this song, this example of this believer, that we might align our lives to this believer. We might see what's good. We might see what's right. And so why don't we listen to these six marks of what it means to be wholehearted in love and obedience and listen into what this song is about. So first of all, the first thing is this. The mark of wholehearted love and obedience is that he takes regular checkups on his obedience. Regular checkups. Look at verse 59. He says, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that I set you a task this week, which is to go to a random building in London in a street that you've never been to before. And I guess if I set you that task, you'd probably go about it in a certain way, which is you'd probably get a map out or Google it if you're technically inclined, and you would find out where this street is, and you'd probably start to make your journey. And on your journey, you'd get onto the tube, and like you do on the tube, I don't know why we do this, but we get on the tube, and every time there's a stop, you check the map. Do you do that? I do that every time. Even though you know where you're going, you know how many stops it is, but you just feel like you should check the map. And you look at the map, and then you check, you count how many stops are left, and then you move on, and then you stop at the next one, and you do the same. Yes, it is one less. That's exactly what I thought. And you have this thing where you're constantly checking, because you want to check that you're going right. And then you leave the tube, you've come off at the right stop, and you come up the steps, and you get your A to Z out, and you start looking at the street, and you walk a little bit, and then you check the street name, and then you realize that you're going the wrong way. So you then turn, and you walk another direction. Now, that's the kind of idea. If you picture that kind of going on a journey to get to a destination, that's kind of how it should be for a Christian. We should be those who are regular checking the tube map. Am I going in the right direction? Yes, I'm going in the right direction. Is this the street I need to turn down? No, it's not, so I need to turn. And that's what he's doing in verse 59. I have considered my ways. He's stopping and he's checking his ways against what God says is right. That's this idea of statutes. He's stopping and checking, and then he's saying, actually, my ways don't align with the Lord's ways. And so he turns his feet and he walks in the right path. It's a mark of wholehearted love for the Lord, because when we love him, we want our ways, we want our lives to align as much as they can with his. And so those who are wholehearted in love with the Lord and passionate about obedience because of it will be those who stop regularly and who check their ways. Just like he says here, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. What does a regular checkup look like for us? Well, it is that, first of all, stopping. We will need to stop and we will need to listen to God's ways. We will need to check the map, as it were. And we will need to say, does my way align with God's way? We will need to consider. We thought about this morning a little bit, didn't we? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, we'll need to take time to do that. You know, I was angry at my kids this morning. What does Jesus say about being angry? He says, it's not good. So I turn my ways to walk his way. I want to align myself with him. And it will mean walking, stopping, considering, turning, and walking. And so let me ask you, are we taking time to do that? Does our love for Jesus and our desire to please him and to walk his way equate into this considering our ways? Because it does for this psalmist as he sings. We need to check things like our reactions, our way we're driving, you know, the what we do at work, you know, when everyone else is doing something that you know is wrong. Are you checking your ways and then turning to walk Jesus' way? And there'll be many occasions, won't there, where we need to pray verse 58, where, Lord, be gracious to me. Lord, be gracious to me, because I can't do this without you. Please turn my ways to you. So that's check number one. That's mark number one, sorry, of someone who's wholehearted in their obedience. The second mark of someone who is wholehearted in their love for the Lord and therefore wholehearted in their obedience is that they're speedy to obey. So have a look at verse 60. He says, I will hasten and not delay. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege, or that's probably not quite the right. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of seeing a kid who's been asked to do something but absolutely doesn't want to do it. Have you ever seen that? It is a painful thing to watch. Go and tidy your room. All right. And the steps are kind of so slow, and the words and the huffing and the absolute kind of dragging their heels to obey. There's such a reluctant obedience. And that's kind of the picture of what this idea of I will hasten and not delay. Delay means reluctance. It might be that, you know, this request to tidy your room, and they're stomping up the stairs or going as slowly as they can, or they do it, but not when you want them to. And actually, our writer says that, you know, one writer talks about this, and he says that delayed obedience is actually disobedience. Now, I don't know whether you agree with that or not, but that's not the attitude of this psalmist, is it? This one who loves the Lord, he says, I will hasten and I'm not going to delay. I want to do this quickly. And how do we square up to that? You know, do we come to church and we listen to Jesus and we hear his instructions, and he puts his finger on something that we need to sort out in our life? And do we say, well, you know, sort that tomorrow, sort that next week? You know, that sounds a bit hard work. Maybe I'll do that somewhere else. Or do we say like the psalmist, no, I will hasten, I will do this quickly, I want to obey quickly because I love you, Jesus, and I want to do this. I will hasten and not delay. It's a mark of someone who's wholehearted in their obedience. Mark number 3, we see in verse 61, which is that he obeys when the pressure is on. Look at verse 61. He says, though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. I'm sure that many of us can identify with different pressures in life to walk the opposite way to what Jesus tells us to. Now, that may come from friendships that we have. You know, we just the people that we mix with all the time. Maybe you've got a job where you're in an office with people, and just the fact that they are walking in a completely the opposite direction to you because they're walking their own way makes it very difficult for you to obey Jesus. The pressure's on. And perhaps it's pressure from our families. You know, they don't want you to obey Jesus. They don't want you to behave in a certain way. Or maybe it's, and as I've considered this week, I guess the time where I felt the pressure to not obey is actually from my own sinful nature. My own sinful desires put the pressure on. There's this internal conversation that goes on, maybe you know it, where you sort of, Jesus says this and your sinful nature saying, oh, but go on, Nathan, just, you know, it won't hurt to do that once. Jesus will forgive you. And then this conversation, oh, but Jesus says this and your sinful nature. And I think then maybe if you can understand any of that pressure, perhaps you can identify with this poetic language of being bound by the wicked, being tied up so that you can't do, making sure you cannot do what Jesus tells you you should do. Now, I don't know whether the psalmist was literally bound with ropes or whether he is just being poetic. But the point is this. When he's bound, when the pressure's on not to obey, that's the point, I think. When the pressure's on not to obey, what does he say? What's his desire? What does he express to the Lord he loves? He says, I will not forget your law. I will not forget your law. In other words, I will not give up on what you said is right. Even though the pressure's on, his love for the Lord expresses itself that he will keep going. And I think this is really interesting, isn't it? For the believer, when the pressure comes, do you know what it does? It tightens their grip on God's words rather than loosens it. So Jesus, in the parable of the sower, warns about when persecutions and trials come, that lots of people give up. But for the person who really loves the Lord Jesus, what does it do? I will not forget your law. I'm not going to let go of this. You know, you try taking something away from a child who wants it, the grip tightens. And it should be the same with the believer and the Word of God. The grip should tighten on God's law. I will do this because I love you, Jesus. How do we square to that when the pressure's on? Are we those who love Jesus so much that we want to cling tightly to everything he said? Mark number 4, we see in verse 62 where he is thankful that Jesus' ways are right. Have a look at verse 62. He says, at midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. Now, I have a problem with this verse because I don't like getting up at midnight, but I'm sure that it's a well-meaning thing. But he gets up at midnight, and what does he do? I think this is all connected with the previous verse when the pressure's on. And I think he's saying that I have this deep thankfulness that, Jesus, your ways are right, even if it's led me down paths that don't look that right. It reminded me, actually, of a story in the New Testament that some of you will know. It's the story of Paul and Silas. And here are two men who love Jesus and who are being obedient to Jesus as they go on a journey to tell people about Jesus. And on this journey, where does their obedience lead them? Well, it leads them to being flogged and beaten and put in prison and their feet put in stocks. That's where their obedience led them. That's what it looked like for them. Their backs were probably on fire because of the lashes that they'd received. They're in absolute agony. They're probably a bit dehydrated. And do you know what they do? We read this. At midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. I probably would have been grumbling. But these men, out of their love for Jesus, got up and they thanked him. They thanked Jesus that his ways were the right ways. The pressure, the persecution, the opposition didn't make them give up on God's word, but they were thankful. There is this deep, deep sense in someone who really loves the Lord that wherever obeying him takes them, wherever it ends up, his ways are right. You notice that? Look at that. I will give you thanks for your righteous laws, for your right ways. Wherever it ends me up, even if it ends me up being bound by the wicked, I will give you thanks. Do we have that deep sense of Jesus' ways being the right ways? Do we have that deep sense that wherever obedience takes us, that Jesus' way is still right? That's the mark of someone who is wholeheartedly in love with the Lord and who wholeheartedly wants to obey the Lord. Mark number 5 is that someone who's wholehearted in their love for the Lord keeps friends with those who obey Jesus. Have a look at verse 63. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. When you're wholehearted about something, it kind of creates strong bonds, or bonds at least, with those who are passionate about the same thing. So again, you know, pick the example of a sports team. It creates bonds between people, even if you've never really met them. Let me give a really bad example, but it'll probably work. I quite enjoy running. I don't go very often. But there's this thing that happens when you're out running. Okay, it's very odd. But, you know, you go out running and you see someone else who's running and you kind of, you know, you nod. You sort of, hi. You know, you kind of got this, suddenly there's this bond with this person that you've never, I'm a runner, you're a runner. And there's this kind of, this bond, because why you're doing something and it unites you, you're passionate about something. Now, actually, they don't know that I'm not passionate about running, but that's not the point. You know, they give you the nod. He's in all his gear, you know, this person, and I'm in my old ruddy t-shirt thingy and it's all kind of all mucky and things. But hey, there's this bond. Because you're sharing something, you're sharing a passion. And actually, that's a rubbish example, but hey, it's strong with the Christian. It's strong with believers in our Lord Jesus that this bond is created as you love the Lord and you want to be with people who are seeking to obey him because they love him too. Why is that bond created? Why is he a friend to all those who obey Jesus? Because he knows that he might get help to do it from them, and because he knows he might be a help to others. I am a friend, he says, to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. We need our Christian brothers and sisters around us. We need people who love the Lord around us, and we need to be friends to them. It creates a bond. And so let me ask you, are you someone who keeps friends with those who love the Lord Jesus, with those who are seeking to obey him? Or are you keeping friends with people that are encouraging you to disobey? As we align ourselves, as it were, to this singer, as we listen in and we see his marks of obedience, there may be things that we need to change, relationships that might need to change. And then the sixth mark is this: a hunger to know more. As we're listening in to this guy singing, he's expressing his love to Jesus. He's singing away in his garden, and we're listening in, and he says, look, the earth is filled with your love, O Lord. He comes back to the God who's wholeheartedly loved him, and then he cries out. There's only two requests in this psalm. Be gracious to me, and this is the other one. Teach me. Teach me. Someone who is wholeheartedly in love with the Lord and who wants to obey him is someone who knows they need teaching by Jesus. Is that something that we say and mean? When was the last time you prayed before you came to church and said, Lord, I really want to learn today. Teach me your ways. You know, we are never going to be able to consider our ways and turn our ways to Jesus' ways if we're not being taught by him, because we won't know his ways. We need to know his laws, his commands, his statutes, his precepts, his promises, all these words that get bundled together to refer to everything he speaks. We need to know them. Lord, teach me. Wholehearted love expresses itself by saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to learn. I want to learn. And so here we have six marks of someone who has wholehearted love and therefore a wholehearted desire to obey the Lord. And as we finish this evening, let me ask you a couple of things. As you look at those marks, how does it leave you feeling as you compare your life to that? I guess if you've been like me as I've studied it this week, actually it might leave us feeling pretty rubbish in some ways. It left me feeling pretty rubbish because I know how quickly I fail to obey. I know how far short of these things I fall. But can I tell you that there's a chain going on here? The temptation will be tonight that we look at a list like this and we start to think, great, well, here's my obedience stuff and I need to go and I need to work at the obedience stuff. Actually, if our obedience is off, if we are slightly wonky on these marks in our own life, the place we look first is where he starts, which is verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. If our obedience is off, it's more than likely that what's off is that we don't love Jesus as much as we should. We don't see him as everything we need. Maybe there's other things vying for being our portion. And maybe that's where we need to work this evening. Maybe that's where we need to put some attention. Maybe we need to go home and pray the requests that he prays. Lord, be gracious to me. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want to make you everything I am. Lord, please be changing my desires. And then he prays, doesn't he, verse 64, teach me. Teach me. Do we pray that? And it may be that we are here tonight and we say, yeah, I really do love the Lord, but I find obedience so hard. Well, then we need to pray those two things as well. Lord, be gracious to me. Lord, make me someone who's regularly checking my life against your word. Make me someone who is speedy to obey you. Make me someone who is thankful and who keeps going, keeps sticking with your word, even when the pressure's on. One of the things that I am very grateful for as I've studied this psalm this week is that in one way, this psalm is addressed to Jesus. But in another way, he is the ultimate singer of this psalm. If there's anyone who can say these words wholeheartedly and mean them, it's Jesus. Jesus, the one who took on humanity, the one who became one of us. And what did he do? Well, he did verse 57 more than we ever could. He loved the Lord. He made the Lord his portion. You are my God. He says, you are the one I love with all my heart and all my soul and all my being. The Lord Jesus is the one who obeyed where I have failed to obey. The Lord Jesus is the one who obeyed without delay. The Lord Jesus is the one who obeyed constantly walking in God's ways. The Lord Jesus is the one who obeyed when he was bound by the wicked. At the cross, our Lord Jesus was bound by the wicked. And what did he do? He didn't retaliate. There wasn't an angry word that came from his mouth. He walked in the Lord's ways. And in fact, he walked in the Lord's ways as he prayed for forgiveness. He walked in the Lord's ways as he cared for his mother, his human mother. Jesus is the one who lives this psalm. Yes, it's addressed to him. Yes, it's about desiring to obey him, but actually, we're only enabled and empowered to be singers of this psalm because the Lord Jesus is the one who was obedient, because he loved the Lord with all his heart, and because he died on a cross to take the punishment that I deserve for not being like this psalm, that I might be brought into a relationship with Jesus where I can say, Lord, you're everything to me. Lord, I want to obey you. Be gracious to me. And so whilst this psalm is addressed to Jesus, we can't live it without the obedient man Jesus. And so let's pray, shall we, for his help to be those who sing the song of this man and make him our portion. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of having this song of a believer preserved for us. Father, we thank you for his desires to make you everything. And we ask, please, that you would align our desires with that this week you would be more important to us. You would be our portion. And we wouldn't be seeking anything anywhere else other than you. And Father, as you captivate our hearts afresh with the Lord Jesus, may our desires, please, follow along. May we desire to obey him. May we be those who are wholehearted and dependent upon you for our obedience this week. Father, we do love you because you have loved us, and we want to be those who obey. We want to walk your ways. We want to bring our lives more in line with yours. And we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus who has made that possible. Father, please help us to be singers of this psalm this week, for Jesus' sake. Amen.